There was no warning, just a massive explosion.
Where is the need? Quite an obvious question, really, just going by what you've just seen, or by what we see on our TV screens, by what we see maybe in our own city centres, our own experiences. We all come with various levels of need. And as we look out into the world, we see even more need and even more of a broken world. And just to quickly pick up on the Global Village, if you're going, how many people are going so far? How many altogether have you got booked?
I've got 10 spaces and I'm hoping to fill them.
Right, fantastic. Can I just say, go. Because at Global Village, you will encounter a broken world. And it's within a secure environment. If you can take the opportunity to go along to Global Village, when there's a group going, please, not just because it's OM, but just because it is an amazing resource for you as a church to be able to go. And so, and there you will encounter need. You will see need. So what is need is obvious. Another question I want to ask tonight is, what is God's purpose for this world? Well, while we're thinking about that, I'm going to give you six answers that might be possible. Answers. Well, are definite answers. You will maybe have more. But God's purpose for the world today, what he wants. God created the world to declare his glory. Psalm 19, verse 1. He created us for his glory. Isaiah 43, verse 6 and 7. We are commanded to do good works for his glory. Matthew 5, 16. We are to do everything for his glory. 10:31. Are you with me? Jesus suffered on the cross for
his glory.
John 17, verse 1. Jesus said his ultimate aim for us is to see and enjoy his glory. John 17, 24. God desires for people to glorify him, to enjoy him, to be satisfied in him. John Piper, funnily enough, Carol, we mentioned John Piper. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And God's, the answer to what is God's purpose in the world actually gives the answer to the question, why do mission? Well, we do mission because people are not satisfied with God. And if they're not satisfied with God, they don't enjoy him and they don't give him glory. So mission is necessary because humanity is not right with God. Mission is needed because people are perishing and the gospel is their only hope. People are going to hell and only Jesus can save them. That was God's plan. I know you've been looking at Jonah And God's plan was for Jonah to take the message of hope, of his salvation to the people of Nineveh, so that they would glorify him, they would know him, and they would come to glorify him because of the salvation that he brought.
And all over the world, there are people and places where God
is not worshipped
and enjoyed,
places where he is not being glorified. So the mission of the, or the task of the church, is the joint cooperative effort of the church to proclaim the gospel. From the beginning of history, if we go back into Genesis, we know what God intended. God intended for his people to be a blessing to all nations. And we know that. He told that to Abraham, he told that to Isaac, and he's telling that to us today. He wants us as the church to bless all nations. To do this, we have to proclaim the gospel. If we read in Isaiah 66, it tells us there, they shall come and see my glory, they shall declare my glory among the nations. If you read that chapter, you'll see what that's more about, what that is about. So, why do mission? God, church, to share the gospel. Is it working all right, or is it going on and on? Want me to use this one? Okay. That's all right, not a problem. So how do we start doing this? Okay, so we've kind of have a little recap about mission, etc. Why we do it, what it's about, glorifying God, and ultimately sharing that with the nations. What do we do, the practicalities of it? Now, I know that you as a church are involved in many different things. So, this is not a kind of like, you're not doing anything, so therefore you need to be doing it. You are doing it. But it's really just a way of just giving you a bigger picture, a wider picture, I suppose, if you like, and helping you, resourcing you in the practicalities. But mission happens when people become passionate about God's glory. Because if we're not passionate about what we believe in, if we don't glorify or can't glorify God in what we're doing, then how can we transfer that? How can we expect other people to come to know his salvation and therefore glorify him? I was actually looking over some of Jonah, and it suddenly struck me. I'm not sure whether I knew this from before or whether it was just something new that dawned on me, but Jonah didn't do what God wanted. Jonah wasn't glorifying God. He wasn't following God or doing what God wanted him to do. And he ended up in the belly of a big fish. I don't want that to do that. Do you know, the thought of it is like, I don't even like fish. So, and then I thought, well, the second chapter of Jonah comes to the realization. He prays. And he says, God, I'm in distress. God, what am I doing? What are you doing? But at the end of that prayer, I'm just very paraphrasing there. At the end of chapter 2, Jonah says, my salvation comes from the Lord. And at that point, the big fish spewed him out. And it was almost as if God was saying, right now that you have realized that your salvation is through me and you have recognized that and you are glorifying me because of that, now you can come from darkness into light. And that's what we want to take and be a blessing to the nations. We want people to be involved in that work. And one of the ways that you can be involved is through prayer. Like Jonah, in his prayers, in his situation, he prayed. Through the prayer, he was able to move from darkness into light. And then God took him and used him to proclaim, and 10,000 people turned to God. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit. Prayer is not really an option for those of us as Christians who want to be involved practically in mission. Prayer is something that God says we should be doing. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers. I just want to quickly share a story from our team in OM Macedonia. In that part of the world, as you know, they've had a huge, huge influx of refugees, migrants. The team there has been working flat out over the months to bring humanitarian aid and work with these people. But they've also had opportunity to pray for them, to pray with them. And one of the things that they've been doing is running a cafe there, which has brought a little bit of normality, I suppose, to the people's lives. You know, let's go out and meet our friends, let's socialise, let's have a coffee together. But let me just share this little story with you. Today at the cafe, a Syrian lady named Aida came in. I first met her at the start of the year when she came in to see me. Then Aida had been deeply depressed. One of the borders had just been closed, and Aida, ill with a liver tumour, was prevented from reaching Germany, where she hoped to get treatment. She showed me the scans and medical reports, and I had prayed in the name of Jesus for her recovery. Today, at the cafe, a Syrian lady named Aida came in. Her face is shining as she shows us copies of her latest scans performed here in Macedonia. The tumour has gone. Aida wants to tell the other refugees who are listening, it's because of this, she says, touching the cross around my neck. We prayed, I remind them all. I want to pray like you now, she says, pointing to the cross.
Thank you. Can we show video two, please? Have you got the clicker?
We've just finished a trip to Lesbos in Greece, where we saw many people come on the shores of Greece as refugees. I gave a hug to Ahmed, who was in tears after having arrived in Europe with his family. All these people are moving on, from here to Macedonia, to Serbia, into Germany, into Austria, and all these places are facing the flood of refugees entering the European countries. Some people see this as a threat, we see it as an opportunity. They come from countries far away that we've been praying for, that we've been trying to enter, to reach out and share the gospel in those places. We've been praying for that. And now today, they're coming to us. I believe God is moving these people to us because we haven't been going to them. We as OM, we see that the flood of refugees coming into Europe is a fantastic opportunity for the church to reach out and share the love of Jesus Christ with each and every one of them. And our prayer is that in every city, in every church, there will be refugees welcomed and introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you be part of that?
Why mission? Why pray? Many prayed for these folks who are coming across to Lesbos. Robert Yan, the guy who was talking there, he heads up our Global Valleys project in Europe. But he is a visionary like many OMers. And as of next month. They're hopefully buying a boat. You know, we've got the ship Logos Hope. Well, he's buying a boat. Because in Europe, it's a bit like parts of England, there are lots of canals, and canals and rivers go into different countries. So we're going to build a global village set, looks like a film set, on this boat. And we're going to tour around all the countries. Why? Because people are asking. People are desperate. When I was here last, we'd just come back from Moldova and in the Netherlands, Robert Yanez, where we have a global village there, and 60,000 people come along to this church festival. It's awesome. And we run the global village there over the long weekend. I mean, 2,500 people come through it because we do the shorter version there. That's about praying and giving. What's the first thought in your mind when someone says give? Oh, he wants my money. They always want more money. These Christians are always asking for money. Yeah, great, we need your money. But God needs you to give of yourself. I could have sat and listened to you all night. Brilliant. You know, Romania, you know, it's great. I love the stories. It's very, very, very similar to Moldova when we were there. Poverty. You don't know what poverty is until you go to these countries. You see real poverty. And if you want that experience without going abroad, Global Village, come with us on a journey. Let some of the guys who are registered online, like going on a holiday, and there's leaflets out there if you want to read at them. There's a video, you can check out the video on site. Or you can go and help. Crisis or opportunity. Give of your time. Giving money is amazing. And I'd love some folks to give us money for our support. It's away down here and it should be up there. But giving time, time is precious. Your time and my time is very precious. And God says to you, I gave my life for you. So what are you going to do about it? And I know many of you are doing great things. The shoebox, I feel. Some good friends of mine work for Blyswood. One guy is in charge of all the shops. Another woman, she raises her profile. And we work in partnership with many organizations like Blyswood. So if you want to know more, you want to go to Macedonia to help with the refugee project. There's a guy who landed in Lesbos. He met, I think it was Robert Yan or the other team leader, the guy with the yellow jacket on. And he asked him, why are you helping us? Because he discovered that these guys were Christians. Because he asked what OM is, Operation Mobilization. He said, you're Christians, you're helping us, we're Muslim. He said, let me read your holy book. Let me have an angel. So he gave him an angel. And he says, will you read it? Yeah, of course I'll read it. So as that Muslim guy with his family trekked across Europe by a bus, walking, train, whatever, eventually landed in Germany. And lo and behold, he met another guy with an OM in his shirt. And he ran up to him and says, see this book of yours, this angel? I've read it. And I want you to tell me, how can I know this Jesus? How can I become a follower of Jesus? That story can be recounted thousands of times. I've heard so many stories, thousands of times. Why? Because people prayed. Why? Because people gave money to buy the Arabic Bible, the angel. Why? Because people got off their houses and out their comfort zone here, staying here in Inverness. And this year I went to Moldova out my comfort zone. I managed to get out with OM, I managed to get a couple of TV jobs to get some money, and I gave that to pay for my trip. You may be saying, why is OM not paying for your trip? Because OM subsidises us each month because of our low support, so I have to find money elsewhere to go to Moldova. When I went to Moldova, could you bring up the slide? Does this work? Yes, I went to Moldova, challenged into mission. And did I go boldly? No. Did I go confidently? No. Because the day I was leaving, Sharon was there doing a training course, and I was at the headquarters in Chisinau, the capital of Moldova, and it was chucking rain outside, and I suffer a bit from anxiety and other things, and I didn't want to go, I wanted to cry. And Sharon, one of my friends, seen that I was on the edge of crying. I was out of my comfort zone. So after two bus journeys with a local Moldovan who only spoke English, took me to the centre of the church, and she introduced me to The third girl on the left, who's English. The one next to her, Margarita, is Portuguese, the rest are Moldovan. And she says, oh, it's good to have you here. He says, I didn't really want to come out here to translate, but I was told to come. And also the team are apprehensive about you being here. I goes, why is that? He says, well, they heard the pensioner was coming. I says, who's the, oh, me. Do I look like a pensioner? Okay. But I had an awesome time. They were apprehensive. I was apprehensive. So the first town, the city I went to was Călărași. And like many things you do in Moldova to Romania, they speak Romanian or Russian. I speak neither. Set le bleu, le bia, te bia, which is Russian for I love you. So I didn't use that very often, but I used it a couple of times. This is a team to working with local kids in the local area. This is about praying every day. Every day we prayed, every day we ended in prayer, every day we did something, we prayed, and giving. As I said, I gave up my time, I gave up the money I earned on the side to pay for my trip. It's about giving of yourself and your gifts and talents. I gave my testimony every single day, sometimes two or three times a day. I do some conjuring tricks. I did that to share a Christian message. And these kids lapped it up. And the team here were amazing. We also visited local families in desperate need. Poverty. When I went to these people's houses, I thought, whoa, that's a nice bungalow. That's probably built 100 years ago and it's probably not been decorated in 50 years. Very poor. We bought food from our own OM finances and we bought food and we did that in various cities and towns that we were in. Then we visited the elderly. I don't know if you can see it too clearly. Cast your mind back, those who are old enough, 100 years to a care home, a hospital in the UK. Stark walls. Look at the people's faces. Look at their body language, hunched over, because they've no reason for living. They have one meal a day. If they don't have any family or relatives to give them food, they have one meal a day. We took them in fresh fruit and things like giving them vitamins and gave them drinks, and we also took in some other foods. But the kids, I call them kids too, as I must be getting old, these guys in their late teens, early 20s, prayed with them. They gave up their time, they prayed. And they prayed the prayer of salvation. I felt so convicted. When was the last time I spoke to an older person, a pensioner, who's nearly dying, and said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? They did it. And it's just amazing how wonderful it's been. I was so, so, so humbled by all of that. So that's praying, giving, going is a precious part of that. Do you know that McDonald's in the world, there is 1.7 million people work for McDonald's. And the last survey was done, there's 400,000 Christian missionaries. 1.7 million McDonald workers and only 400,000 Christian missionaries. There's a total imbalance there. So I encourage you to pray, to give of your time, to go. And that's locally. I was at church this morning and there's a wee old lady there. When you come in, she greets you by giving you a hug. And she has a box of chocolates and offers you a chocolate. She doesn't have much more, but she gave the gift that she has, the gift of friendship, of welcoming, of a chocolate. What is your gift? What can you give to God? What can you support? One of the feeding projects we have there is to support the pastors to get the kids after school and give them soup and bread. But you may know someone here who speaks Kurdish, Turkish, Arabic, Chinese. We have the Jesus film. And I can give you as many of them as you want. You can give to your local shopkeeper, someone you work with who may be of another, I think my time's up, who may speak one of these languages. So I can give you the Jesus film for nothing. I can give you as many as you want and you can give them away free. The gift of God is eternal life. Do you believe it?
We're going to finish really there, but I just want to now challenge you. Do I still need to use this one? Yeah. To pray, to give, to go. But one of the things too, and I know this is something that you are involved in a church, and that is to be a sending church. It's one of the areas in the church today, as we travel round, that churches actually, sadly, don't seem to always grasp. That, yeah, they can pray, they can give, and yes, some people in the church may go, but they don't always think about being a sending church, to actually send people out. Could you just, is it okay if we take another few minutes? I don't want to run over too much, sorry. I would like to just show the Teen Street video, if that's okay. We're going to be talking more about this with the young people tonight, but I thought it would be a good just to for you guys to see this just very quickly as well. Because one of the ways that you can actually get involved as a church is to send your young people to be encouraged, to have teaching, to meet other people of different countries and nationalities and share together. Is it going to come up? Absolutely mental. But within that, there is a time for young people to meet, to get teaching, to get discipleship, and they can do it together. There's about 3,000, 4,000 people all go to Germany every year. It's amazing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Can I just encourage you as a church to continue or to be more of a people who have a passion for God's glory? And out of this, a passion for mission.